Father, thank you for this precious book again. We open it, Lord, because in here's the only way we'll find out what true Christianity is. In here's the only way we'll find out who the true and living God is and what he's doing in this life. And thank you for that precious Holy Spirit that you sent our way, and you said he'd come and teach us. Jesus said that when he was here. And we see that the apostles learned more in just a few days walking with the Holy Spirit than they did with Christ walking 3.5 years. Because they had to go where Christ was at. He had to explain everything. But the Holy Spirit lives in us. And God's preserved his precious word, the word of God, that we can read it. And one who inspired it to write, the one who lives in us to help us understand it. And we open the night asking to grow in this life until we get home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'd like to turn back to start with the John chapter 5. I want to read that verse again because we're going to go to Colossians chapter 2 in just a moment. And while you're turning there, let me give you a little bring up where we was at last week to get us kind of launched off tonight. We said last week the seeds of Christ's likeness, which is the incorruptible seed of God that's in us, that makes us a child of God. We said that they were planted at the moment that we trusted Christ as Savior. Now, those seeds are spread. We have to put scripture with scripture. Matthew 13 talks about spreading the gospel seed. Well, the seed, which we know is the gospel seed. It's not the money-making seed, folks. I'm sorry. It's the gospel seed. A lot of folks have turned it around and started using this plant, like making money. Plant a dollar and get 10, or plant 100 and get 1,000. No, that's taking it out of context. It's seed, the gospel. You go to Peter and he talks about the incorruptible seed. That means this book cannot be corrupted from God's standpoint. Now, man tries to corrupt it and gets people to misunderstand it, and they corrupt the way it means. But this is the infallible word of God. And so when I look at this and I begin to see the seeds of Christ's life were planted at the moment we trust Christ as Savior. And of course, the Bible teaches us if you're a Christian, the life of God dwells in your soul. That's the life that we have. God created man with dust of the ground, breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And with that, all that you have for, you need for heaven, God has given us. How? In Jesus Christ. We don't have a thing to offer him in this flesh without Jesus Christ. And so we're going to go there because of him. We also know the Prince of Eternal Life is already in us. It means that you have title to the heavenly possessions that God has in Jesus Christ. It means that you have already passed from death into life. And that's what John chapter 5, verse 24 tells us. And you read John 5, 24, and also look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1, you'll find that God, Jesus said what he said. And when God the Spirit moved Paul to write Romans 8, as he experienced Romans 7, he confirmed it also, the Holy Spirit did, by scriptures. He said in verse 29, just or 28 again, or 24, I'm sorry, verse 24, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and go through that again, there's five things here that leads to what he's talking about. He that heareth my word. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if I understand that, there's no one that knows how to reach the God of this heaven unless they hear the word of God. Why? Jesus is authority, amen? And he said, notice again, he said, and you can, we can leave that, read over it, forget trying to get to know him. He said, he that heareth my word. What is his word? It starts here in John 1. It's the living word, Jesus Christ. And the written word tells us about the living word. It's a written word that God allows us to hear that draws us to the living word that we may know how to be saved. And then Jesus, before he went to he said this before he ever died. Before we ever knew what salvation would be. This is before he went to Calvary, but he's telling what will happen once he accomplishes his mission. And he goes on and he said, and believeth on him that sent me. John 1:12 teaches that believing is the Son on us the same things as receiving. And we have to be careful of that word believe today because we got people just say, hey, come on down, believe, and you'll be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. Salvation is more than just haphazard happening. There's a sequence of it, just like there's a sequence of physical birth. And he goes on, he said, believe on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That means the time you receive Christ as Savior you have. It don't mean it didn't say you shall have it. It says you have it right then, present tense. That's in present tense. And if you go study English in college or high school, anywhere else, you'll find when you look at tenses of words, this is precious. Because that means if I do what God said, and I see Romans 8, Romans 10, 9, 10, 11, 12, along there, and 13 and 17. When I do what God says do, God said, I don't have to wait to at the end of the age to see where I make it or not. He said, you can have it right now. And so that's the reason Paul, again, said, examine yourself. Don't be a reprobate. Don't trick yourself believing in something or let Satan trick you to believe in something that's not real. Notice what he said. He hath everlasting life. Then I like this, and he shall not come into condemnation. That's judgment. He will not, he shall not come, according to the future, shall not come to condemnation. Now, before I read the last one on this, go into Romans where we was at and looked at it just a few, months ago now, I guess, when we started out in Romans chapter 8. Notice what it says in chapter 8 in verse 1. Jesus said that, hear my word, believe on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. Now he's pointing to the future, and he said, that person who has this will not, shall not come to judgment. And we know this judgment, he's talking about eternal damnation here, because next year, down in the verse, he talks about that resurrection, one in that which is does good, one in that which is does bad. One is the presence that God's going to give to us, the other is the, and we know is the place of hell. But you understand scriptures from that verse because of studying scripture, comparing scripture with scripture. Now, if you look in chapter 8, verse 1, therefore there is no condemnation to them that are what, which are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? He's confirming right again. As we look at 30 years later when Paul wrote this, or the Holy Spirit gave him, he's saying the same things. He said there's no condemnation to those that go into the future if they're really born again. And Paul confirms that now in Romans chapter 8, 30 years later. Therefore, there is no condemnation. There's no judgment, he says to them, which are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that clear? Isn't that clear? He's not saying, there's no condemnation. Everybody believes. No. No, sir. He says, believing is important, and believing is synonymous with receiving. And John 1:12 gives us receiving. And we hear that over. We've got to get it in our mind so we can fight Satan with this thing. And then he tells us here, this particular time, that it's in Christ Jesus. Now, how is it in Christ? Because if it's in Christ Jesus, you're going to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. You may have some instance of the flesh, but it won't be the lifestyle. And that's what he said. And then notice what he said. I love this. Shall not come in condemnation, but what is. What tense is that? Present tense. Right then and there when you do that. Jesus said, is passed from death unto life. Now, turn with us to Colossians chapter 2. And we want to look at a few verses here just for a moment. And then we're going to get back to, which I asked you to do last week, Romans chapter 8. In Colossians chapter 2, look with me in verse 29. I read these last week, and I'm going down to about chapter 2, verse 9, down to about verse 16. But as we talk about what Paul said here, notice he said, for in him, in who? Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Now, how is this done? John 3 says, by what? The new birth. The new birth is what? Born from above. What is that? It means that something has to do with God. Now, in that conversation, we looked at, I'm not going to go in depth of it, in that conversation, let me remind you, when Nicodemus was trying to understand what Jesus said, he brought up physical birth. And he didn't understand that. How can I go back to mother's womb, be born the second time, so forth? And Jesus said, some man be born again, being born of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said to thee, ye must be born again. Now, I've got to understand that, but spiritual life is beyond this life. How can I in this life even come again to comprehend spiritual life? It's everything that I've never seen. Physical life, I can learn it just by being born into this world. Isn't it amazing that Jesus, while he was here, talked about this life, talked about birth and comparing it. It's like baptism. Some people think baptism is necessary to be saved. You can't find that in the scripture. We're taught to be baptized, but it's to give us, it's to remember what Christ, we had last Sunday night, remember what Christ has done for us with his blood and his body being broken. And also, it represents the new creation that resurrected in us when God placed us in Christ's body. 1 Corinthians tells us that he places us into the body of Christ. That is, he emerges us into the body of Christ. Or another word could be used, he baptizes us into the body of Christ. That's the spiritual side that you and I can't see physical eyes. But I tell you this, when you go through that water of baptism, you see that. The scripture talks about being baptized. He gives a great commission, go baptize in the Father, the name of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when we baptize, Paul tells us that baptism is representation of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it says to me, something has happened, physically can see, that I identified with Christ, not ashamed of him. I recognize he took my sin. And you heard me explain this many times, and maybe it's rehearsal and it don't mean much to you. Just forget about it. Somebody may need to hear it. But in that second, I'm demonstrating, as often I do this, I do remember to him, I'm demonstrating to a lost world that I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and my Savior, and I'm not ashamed of him. And he gave us the ordinance to do that with. Now, when I got saved, he said, in me, see now, as I look at that physically, the outward appearance, inside me, there was a quickening of my spirit, which raised up a new creation in me. It's like a resurrection, and Paul's going to talk about this on the spiritual side. So here you got a person reading this, don't understand one thing about the spiritual world, because none of us really understand it until we taught it. I tell you what this, if you try to look at the spiritual world without the Word of God yourself, you'll look at everything in this world that's anti-God, false goblins and goobins and everything else. Why? That's what the world's going to teach. You say, well, no one ever teach me that. Just hang around a little bit and listen to what the world teaches, and you'll find out you'll begin to believe about some strange things. Isn't it amazing, ladies and gentlemen? A lot of folks will believe strange things and end up in hell when God wants us to believe truth and they won't accept it. So here's what he's telling us. I want to go back a few minutes now. What is it that comes about physical birth? There's a sequence. If you don't have the sequence, you're not born physically. That's all there is to it. Well, what is it about spiritual birth? Jesus is telling. He didn't go into great detail because he didn't, no matter what he said, we wouldn't understand it. He gave us enough to search it, and he's got other scriptures to add to it so the Holy Spirit helped us put it. Man, I see that. Isn't that wonderful? I see that. See what God had did, and when he shows those things to you, you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord like 2 Peter tells us to do. And so here, as I read these verses, I see that seed is an important factor for birth. Amen? Without the seed, you're not going to have no birth. And he goes back and talks about seed. We know that in physical birth. We know there's a seed. It's amazing how it works. Anybody seen the news this past week of the mixed couple that was married and they had one black and one white child? Anybody see that? And they said, how did that happen? They explained it. It's absolutely amazing. Anybody see that? And they said what happened was that they actually, there's two different seeds that went in two different eggs, and in turn, when that conception took place, what was in those seeds came forth, even though they were different. Isn't that amazing? You know what? God set it up. It'll work like it does if it sequences there. You and I don't make the decision about things like that. It's already set. He set forth, there's a seed, and there's an egg, and there's a conception, and when those two meet, there's a birth. All right? But before there's a birth, there's a prenatal period. I've been through this before, and I'm going to go further about it now. So what I want you to understand, seed falls on good ground. Go to Matthew 13, and you find Jesus talking about scattering seed. Some fall by the wayside, some fall stony ground, some fall different places. But what does it say at the end? Some fall on what? Good ground. What is good ground? It's like a good, like a seed of a man getting to the place where birth can take place. That is good ground, though, is some falls on the ground that receives it. If it doesn't receive the seed, there's no birth. Peter calls it the incorruptible seed of God, which is the Word of God. And when that seed is sown in Matthew 13 and falls on good ground, right then there is spiritual conception. Now, when seed meets egg in physical birth, there is conception. So when I see this, a baby, listen to me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this will bless your heart if you listen. A baby in a mother's womb is just as much a human being as in this world. Now, keep that phrase in mind. The world says no, but the Bible says yes. Everything that's in a child at conception will be there until they die. Only thing you need to do is for that to grow. And there's a prenatal period for growth. Watch this. Get it in your mind. There's a prenatal period for growth in a mother's womb before they enter into this beautiful world called the physical world made of space, matter, and time. Okay? Without the seed, without the conception, without the prenatal period, there will be no earthly world. All right? Getting that in my mind, that I notice, in a mother's womb, we have everything growing as a human being and to the final delivery. And everything, there's a kind of a prenatal period that develops to let us see the format of that child or the way that person looks when they're born physically. And at physical birth, we start out our journey as a human being in a physical body. We start at the time of birth here to learn about this gigantic, wonderful world that has no end to it. We looked at that a few weeks ago. What do you mean, preacher? I just said it this way. You could start here and leave this earth 186,000 miles per second and travel throughout eternity and never come to the end of it. Then somebody tell me, there can't be no such place like heaven where God's created. Hey, if he created this, then nothing would probably create a place where he's going to take his children. See, all of that enlarges us. We look at it from the human standpoint, it's impossible. But yet we see here, we know that it's got to happen, and we begin to explain it away that God, something else had to do it. It wasn't such things as God. And they come up with foolish things that just did it itself. Man, that's foolish in the thinking there's a God. And so he goes, we go on and think about it. Now, if I understand, I'm going to go to Father, we did that a few months ago, went through in detail. From the time that conception until the time there's a prenatal period to the final delivery, which is here in this life. And now I'm here now, been here 77 years, a lot worse off of when I started. And the thing about it is, I'm going to get worse off here before I get home. So I come to the question now, God is talking about a spiritual birth. I don't know one thing about the spiritual world. A baby in a mother's womb don't know one thing about this world. But the difference, I've got to get hung up. I can't get hung up on the fact that a mother's womb is the same as me being here going to heaven. Because my prenatal period, listen, the prenatal period of a baby being formed to the point that you see the human being before it starts to grow. It doesn't grow any further much in the womb that it can grow until it's out. Then it grows in stature, it grows in academics, it grows in knowledge, it grows every way possible. This world has to enhance that growth. But the only thing about it is it don't tell us what you do when you get to the end of it. Then God comes along and says there's a spiritual birth. Jesus talked about in John 3. And there's a spiritual birth. He said, let me tell you, this spiritual birth has an incorruptible seed. We see that as he talked to Peter. So God spreads his incorruptible seed, and it falls on good ground. That's those who receive Christ as Savior, John 1:12. And by faith, we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that is our spiritual, what can I say, conception. The day that I trust Christ as my Savior and believe the record of God's Son and receive Jesus Christ, I became spiritually conceived into the family of God, into spiritual birth. Just as much so from the spiritual standpoint, I had that just as much so as I had it from my mother and dad in conception as a physical standpoint. The only thing difference is that's physical and now it's spiritual. Now, when I come back and begin to look at this, I see now in Colossians chapter 2, I have everything dwelling in the fullness of Godhead, complete in him with all the hidden, all the principalities, and there, in whom, look down, if you will, buried with him, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein you are now risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And by the way, you cannot do the operation of God, resurrection of our spirit by being quickened, that's made alive. It's like baptism, whereas we have died with him, we've been buried with him, but thank being to God, we're not going to stay buried with him, we're going to rise with him. Well, that's what takes place on the inside when you and I get saved. There is a spiritual awakening. And so now I begin to see here we have all that God has in Christ. We are complete in him spiritually because that's spiritual birth. Just like I'm complete in my mother, from my mother and dad's womb in procreation. Physically, I have everything I need from that combination that comes into this world. The only problem is sin has so contaminated that it don't only start at the birth, it starts with conception. We find that we begin to die even when we start to live physically. But the body reproduces itself. And what happened was, Adam and Eve, when they were alive, there was no such thing as death when God created them. They didn't have to worry about having the body reproduce itself. Why? Because it never died. But what happened? Sin brought death. Isn't that what James said? When sin is conceived, then it brings death. And death was first of all spiritually from God. And that set in a mission inside the body that it started to die. The only thing about it, God allowed the body to reproduce. Cells die, but it reproduced and reproduced and reproduced. In those early years, it reproduced a lot faster than Adam and Eve than it did a few hundred years later. You and I don't live to be 900, 2,000 years old today. We'll die probably 70, 80, and certainly before 100, and a few may live above 100. Why? Because the body sooner or later quits reproducing. Cells die. Brain cells die. That's what the doctor said. I'm older now. I have millions and millions of brain cells, but they're dying. And when they begin to die, you start forgetting things. I'm glad he gave me an answer that I thought something's wrong with me. Amen. But it don't you help you to understand to have an answer? Well, now this is where we at. Here I learned. Here I got born physically and developing as a little babe. That's where I started. By the way, a lot of things I didn't know as a little babe, but that didn't change my physical birth. Because you sin, you and I sin against God. Didn't change our physical birth. It did give us death, though. Why? The wage of sin is death. But, Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he tells us why we die, but he says there's a gift. On the day we see Christ as our personal Savior, there is spiritual conception, and there is a conception to incense that borns us into the family of God. The only difference is our prenatal period is here for developing to get there in heaven. A little baby's prenatal period is growing in the mother's womb to its size, and then he gets into this world to advance his growth as a physical being. When you and I got born spiritually, we're like a little babe. That's what the Bible calls us. I don't care if I'm 100 years old. I just got saved. I'm like a little spiritual babe. And I have to be fed the milk of God's word. And I have to be taught and grow. And with the growing grace and knowledge of the Lord, that's what God said in Peter to do. As we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, we're developing our lifestyle, which in turn is putting off and putting on. And this few verses tells us that. And let me give you a clue. I'm developing here to a point, putting off things and putting on Christ. And God is saying, I'm making you an ambassador for me, reconciling this world that God's in Jesus Christ, reconciling this world to himself. That is, he's bringing and changing this world to himself. And now what's happened is he's let me prepare in this prenatal period to do one. I do much more than I could do as a baby in a mother's womb, because he said, now in this life, I'm going to use you to reach others. I'm going to use you to be a witness. I'm going to use you as an ambassador. I'm going to use you to give the gospel out. I'm going to use you, if you let me teach you, teach others. I'm going to let you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. But one of these days, you're going to leave this world, and you're going to a world that's much greater than this world. Amen. There's a new Jerusalem there. The Son of God's there. The God of gods is there. The throne of God's there. And when you get there, if I could think as a little baby, and I have to go back to that, and I don't know a whole lot in the mother's womb. In fact, I don't know it exists, really. And then I'm born physically, and I can. I thank God I can learn I'm existing, why I'm here before I get to heaven. As I compare that with what God says, that which I can see with that which I cannot see, physical eyes. But God says, what I'll do, I'll break through the flesh into time, space, and matter where you're at, and reveal you things to believe by faith. And Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you'll believe things this world will call you crazy about, but one day you're going to find out, you're learning that I'm using you now for a purpose that when you get to the other side, there'll be many others who'll be along in that simply just because you gave yourself to me. That's all. You can't do a thing. But you give yourself to me, and I'll use you. I'll bring out things you didn't know. And so what happens is, here, when I see that, here we have all that God in Christ has given us. We're complete in him. Let me read a few verses too. Look in verse 20, women, chapter 2 of Colossians. He said, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinance? Touch not, taste not, handle things. God give you a life. Why should you even dabble with those things in the world that were used to tear you down? And he said what? Which are to perish with the using. You know that. Not a reprobate would go against God and live a life like that. it'd be a sign they didn't have exactly what God said you could have, because he goes on. He said, after the commandments of the doctrines of men. That's what this book is about. I'm going to tell you something, folks. As a babe in Christ, you don't know a whole lot. But as you learn to love this book and start in, you'll find that as men follow the doctrines of men, God's people follow the doctrines of Christ. Why do you think people give their life for him and die for him if it were not something different than what this world looks at? Why should someone die for something that's a false? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's got to be something God reveals himself for a person to not recant his faith and give his life for Christ when he could say, hey, I'm not saved, and live. But he's still going to die, isn't he? Ain't you rather die for him than die later and without him? Amen. Notice what he says. He says, which things have indeed a show wisdom in all world worship, humility and electing of the body, not in honor to the satisfying the flesh. There you go. You'll find it. The things of this world don't satisfy the flesh. To the world, it does, because that's all they got. To us, it don't, because you become misery at a certain time. And what happens, God gives us that defect, that we might say, or that inside feeling that when something's not right, we have a medicine for it. By the way, let me just say this to you. A baby that's born into this world is born with defects, right? You have a defect. Not me, preacher. It's there. It's going to come out later. Defect's going to lead to death. And let me say this up front. You can't be born the second time physically, get rid of the defects. All right? We're talking about spiritual birth now. And what he goes on. Here I see we have God as our Christ. We're complete in him. Notice in verse 3, chapter 1, he said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek ye those things which are above. And that's the same thing that Jesus talked about in Matthew 6. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In other words, you're dead to those things. Why would you even want to do them? So wait a minute. If I'm dead, why am I doing them? Because God has given us a new life. And that new life has to grow before it can mortify the deeds of the flesh. And he goes on, and he says this, verse 8. When Christ, who is our life, what's that? That's another thing. See, you and I, this life we got's not some fictitious mess, a new turnover, a new leaf. He keeps telling us Christ is our life. Let me ask you, is Christ not the eternal Son of God? If we have his life, let me ask you something, folks. If Jesus Christ could ever cease to be eternal life, he couldn't be God. Somebody said, well, suppose Christ had a sin, then he wouldn't have been God. But I don't have to go no further than that. He's God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. And then I notice he says in chapter 3, he goes on, he said, and that reason of Christ, seek those things which are above. He said, set your fixation high, and then for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now watch. Once he gives us that insight, he said, verse 5, mortify therefore the members which are upon the earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he's talking to the children of God. Why would he turn around and say, mortify, destroy, put to death these things that the flesh is? Because he's saying, you're the only one who have the power to do that. Unless you do that, you're not going to manifest who I am, because I am not those things. And though you, as a child of God, as a babe in Christ, has to learn and then go further and get a little further and get on, as Hebrews says, on the meat of God's word and begin to be established in the fact, you see, ladies and gentlemen, here I learned something about spiritual world. When I grow up in grace and knowledge of the Lord, 2 Peter chapter 3, 18, you heard me quote that many times, know Jesus Christ as Savior. This is a prenatal period in spiritual growth until the final deliverer, the rapture, when God calls me home. Now, here's the concept. I must get it together to understand that when I'm in this premeditated spiritually here. As a baby born to the physical world, I have a lot of defects. I have to go to a doctor. Thank God for doctors. God gives us a remedy for defects. By the way, you and I will not be living back in biblical terms if three score and ten by reason four score if we're not for medicine, doctors, and wonderful technology of our day. Did you know it was only a few years ago that man's average life is something like 55 years old? Now, where's that? About 70, 80 years old? You know what brought that back? God did it, but he did it through medicine. But did you know, they keep talking now, oh, isn't that a wonderful thing? We believe right now, with all the technology, within a few years, we're going to get people where they can live forever. No, they won't. You got to be born again to live forever. Why? Jesus said that. Well, we don't believe in Jesus. Well, you're not going to have a chance anyhow if you don't believe in Jesus. Hell, as you go home in the lake of fire one of these days, I'm not saying you, I'm saying the world. So what we're saying then is this. Everything I had from my mother, and I see myself born in this world, I have all these physical defects. And now, therefore, because I have these defects because of sin, I thank God for medicine that I can use to help me. And probably right now, you know, I was in a coma in 1992. From Sunday to Christmas Eve, a week. Didn't know I was in the world. Could have died. Still does. Two other men within a few miles of here had the same thing, and they died what I had. And God let me live. I don't understand that. The doctors have it this way. They said, well, the reason for it is their viral infection was liquid. And it went all over the body. And when it does, it's like with the intestines erupt and things like that. It gangrene, and you die. But instead of that, mine turned to jail and lodged outside my left lung and collapsed it. And the doctor said we got in there with some spoons and things to get it, and we took a 3-liter bottle of gel out of your left cavity of your lung and then began to work on that. Had it had been liquid, I'd have died. I don't know. I'd been in heaven, but I still died. He gave me grace. What are you saying? I'm saying, as a child, I have these defects, and defects in medicine, what God gives in our life, and He's the one that blesses us with that. I say this. I believe, hey, this is the end of theology. You can deny if you want to. I just happen to believe that God loves this world so much, but He sees His children being handled so bad in this world that what He does, though sin is developing all of us, I believe God lets this world find things to help His children and the world is blessed by. I just believe He does it. Whatever we find is God is somewhere or another letting His children have it to live longer here to serve Him. But when He does, He's not respecting a person the world can use. Now, somebody will call me out of my mind. That's all right. They think I'm out of mind trusting Christ for 30, 57 years anyhow. But I'm telling you, I believe God does things for His people because He loves the whole world. But when He does something for His people to serve Him longer, give them life, He gives them life for that purpose, and it will bless anyone else who takes it. Did you know that snake on that pole that had bit Israel? Did you know that when God told them the remedy was to put that snake on that pole out of brass, hold it up at the camp around the center of the camp, and thousands were bitten by snake because He sent snakes among them. Anyone who looks at that serpent, the venom will draw from their veins and they will not die. And by the way, I don't care who you were when that went out, if they had snake bitten in the camp of Israel or anywhere else that's living with Israel, ever who looked at that snake lived. Who did He give it to? The Jews. But what did He say? Everyone who looks at it. Isn't that wonderful? So you and I have an edge a little bit, but the world thinks we're smart. No, we're not. We're just humble. I guarantee you, I'm more humble than the world is. So what if I have? If that be the case for a child, get back to this same thing, if that be the case for the physical world, then it says to me, ladies and gentlemen, just as simple as this, if I know truly what Scripture says about being born again, God will clean us with His blood at Calvary, which gives us the chance to be birthed by spiritual conception, by receiving Jesus Christ, the living Word, that the written Word tells us about in our heart. Then I become a child of God based because now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation, Paul told the church at Corinth. Thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believes in the righteous confession, mouth of salvation. Whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, learn those verses. Quote them out because you need them. That's the only thing you and I have against Satan. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If I really don't be an reprobate, examine yourself. Don't you know, Paul said to the church at Corinth, don't you know if you've been born into the family of God? And he said, examine yourself. And if that is truly the new birth, and I've been born into the family of God, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you something. What in the world can change that to have to be done over again? You can't do physical birth over again. A person can't say, well, now I'm in this world, I'm born physically, and I got all these problems, I just want to go back to my mother's womb and be born again. They can't do that. You have to be born from above. And now you find yourself saying, well, here I am now in this life, growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And the Bible teaches whosoever will, he opens that precious door up. And then we get to Romans 8, we're going to look at that. I want to go into further out because this should seal me understanding. When God talked about sealing me with the Holy Spirit, now help me understand that I'm just as much saved, headed to heaven, as I am a little baby in a mother's womb, headed to this world. The only problem is I don't have to worry about dying before I get there in the sense of baby, because a baby dies in a mother's womb, they never know what this world is. Born again into the family of God, I don't have to worry about dying spiritually again if I'm truly born again, but I do have to grow in this world like I do physically in a body of flesh. And I know this. I could have been just as lazy as I've been. Don't you know people just don't care? I could have been that way. All of us could have been that way. Some motivated us in this world to realize if I do what I need to do, I can grow and have better life. And so if I have the opportunity to do things, some countries don't give you the opportunity to do things. Isn't it a wonderful thing? No, God gives us the opportunity to do things spiritually. He gives us those opportunities. And it's a wonderful thing to see. And so he goes on. So when God calls us home in chapter 3, look down and let's look at verse 10. We'll close with this and we'll get to Romans 8 next week, believe me. He said, I have put on the new man, which is renewed, watch this, how? In knowledge, after the image of him that created him. What a powerful verse of Scripture. Now, in it, you trust Christ as your Savior. You're going to have to learn to put on the new man. How are you going to do that? Lord, here I am. Help clothe me. No. You're going to have to look, this book says, and find your place in God's will for your life. And put on the new man, he said, wait, which is renewed in what? Knowledge. God uses words to renew us as a child of God, who we are and what we're doing. Isn't it an amazing thing? Don't that go with what he said in Romans 12? I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. And he says to us who are saved, that should be your reasonable service. Be ye not conformed to this world. You hear it over and over, but you got to have these verses to go back to as you read things to enhance your knowledge. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Why? As I said last week, to be transformed is to be made, created new into something that where God can conform and fashion us into the body of Christ. You and I can never be fashioned to the body of Christ unless we've been transformed. And we can't be transformed without the new birth. So it's easy to go back, and that's how you grow, grace of God. You grow, you know, you never learned algebra unless you learned 2 plus 2 was 4. And I guarantee you, if you learned 2 plus 2 is 4, you didn't learn the first time you heard it. You had to quote it over and over and over and over again. So what happens when you accumulate knowledge, and he's talking about knowing knowledge, you go back and you bring up every time, you bring up every time, you bring up. And when you find, you see a pattern that God has given to increase in knowledge. And he said here, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Then watch. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian goes forth. Then he said, no, put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved. That's the way we should be, bowels of kindness, forbearing one another. If any man have a quarrel against any other, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And that's the pattern. He said, you don't use the former except you just keep going back. Whatever you face and have to do, or putting on or putting off, keep in mind, nobody's done nothing against you like you have Christ. And he didn't put any barriers there. He paid the sin debt and said, here it is, it's yours. All you got to do is receive me. And he said, when you receive me, you're going to have the characteristics here of a lifestyle. It may not come easy, but it will come. You'll be tried and tested. He tells us that. And God will bring forth patient. And he'll bring forth. Romans 5 tells us many things will happen. And those things help us create and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And he said, if a man have a quarrel against any other, even as Christ forgave you, also forgive. He said, above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That has to do with love. So I see that this seed that God is talking about here, instead of receiving the wages of sin, Romans 6:23, which is death, you receive the gift of eternal life. And eternal life means abundant life. John 10:10, Jesus tells us that. And therefore, Paul tells in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that we are ambassadors Christ, that we are to put off the old, put on the new, and that's how God helps us. It doesn't mean, when he says that, it doesn't mean that you and I can do that without him. He said, I'll give you the information, and then you can do that. You can't do anything you don't know to do. Right? And so what happens is this. If we don't let God give us a little bit of knowledge, this world's so full of religion today and so full of different type of right of doctrines that suddenly if we don't have this as the source to look at, we're going to follow something. What is that? Pied Piper is going to come play something, and we're going to follow it because we're geared. There's a vacancy in us that men don't even know, and I believe God left that vacancy so the gospel could tap in there. But the thing about it is, if Satan get there first, he can tap in too. And he taps in false things and error and things that destroy us more so than help us. Now, that's it. Next week, go back with me, if you will, to the book of Romans. And what I wanted to show you here is a wonderful thing, because we're going to look at now how this fits in verse 29 and 30 in chapter 8 before we get the rest of the chapter. Soon we'll be through this chapter and go to something else. But this is so wonderful to see. Now, I understand birth. I understand the spiritual birth to some degree. It's much greater than physical birth. And I understand that birth is birth. And when you're birthed, if you're birthed physically, you can't be birthed physically again. What else are you going to compare it to? The way people live? What they say? Well, that's where it ought to be. No. If you find a person who really loves God and knows God personally, and he's growing like he should, if he's a babe in Christ and going no further after 50, 60 years, there's a bad problem for that. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And he tells us here, as you saw, we grow by knowledge. And that knowledge comes from God. And this is this book here. Now, when I come back, now that's helped me understand. God has given me something to see now as he talks about this thing, what he sees, what he does, what he declares in Jesus Christ. Everywhere I'm at on this road to heaven, it's because of Christ. Because of Christ. In Christ. In Christ. Without Christ. It's all the way through every step. And I began to see, hey, this thing is so much. It's like being born physically. And I come to this one and say, it's this amazing world. There's so much to offer here. Why can't I take advantage of it? And of course, our government knows that's bad enough. He'll make us go to school if we're in this nation after you get so old to what, 16, I think it is. Why can't I take advantage of it? If I take advantage of this, what does the Bible get? And we look at all these things, and we begin to go into an era taking advantage of it. Well, that's what God talks about, this book. The psalmist said, if I hide this in my heart, I not sin against him. Isn't that an amazing statement? What's that mean? There's not. Hey, somebody say, well, I'm not saved, but I hide my heart. Are you kidding me? I mean, you know, I know some things we say that sound foolish, but sometimes they say some of the foolish things in the world. How in the world could a person hide this in their heart when they can't even understand it? Now, what most of the time happens, you get over there, Jason, the son of Jason, Jackie's son of so-and-so. I have to use Johnson County names, old Hebrew names, get into Chronicles and so forth, and you get about 50. Four or five chapters, and you say, man, this is dull. And that's what happened. You read those things that are dull, because genealogies are dull unless you're your own. But what God teaches is truth. Have you ever learned something in the physical life, and you saw it for the first time, and it just blessed you? Have you ever said something you didn't want to study, and you studied it hard, and you made 100 on it? Isn't that a wonderful thing? I love to know people who counsel sometimes, and have a hard time, and say, you could do it. No, I can't. It's just so hard. Then all of a sudden, one year, they come up and make straight A's. Why is that? Because you put yourself to it. You know, God said the same thing. This is your textbook. Say, this is not closed. I have to go to the doctor here. My mother take me to the doctor. Back in those days, you didn't have a doctor like you got now. So our doctor lived down the street from us. He visited your house. You didn't have a horse and wagon either. Isn't that amazing? Anybody ever had a doctor visit their house when they were sick? I had, but I was real small. Nowadays, you go and you have to get in those shuttle things and wait. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the precious word of God. It doesn't mean we're smart, it just means we're believers. If we believe in this divine book, the word of God, Lord, I believe every morsel of bread in this book is for our reading, either ands and these. They're written for purposeful understanding, have knowledge about this life spiritually and the life to come. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege to study this book. And Lord, I don't know if I'm capable of teaching or not, but I know this is in my heart. And I know if you show us anything, we need to be the vessel for God to use. Every child of God ought to be given the gospel out because you gave it to the whole world. And I thank you for that. And I pray this would be something. I thank you for those who said this study has been tremendous, Lord, and it's a blessing to me to know my time has not been wasted. I pray that some people will see this thing more than they've ever seen it before and realize what they have is genuine. It's not makeup. It's not fantasy. It's not maybe so, hope so. It's a reality of something this world knows nothing about outside of Jesus Christ. And to know him as Savior, we have everything. God gave us everything we need in his Son. I know when you made Adam, after you made everything else in the creed, the other things you said was good. But when you created Adam, you said very good. And that which is very good, Satan damaged it. But I can say wonderfully, what Jesus did is more than very good. It's abundantly good. Because it did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And yes, Lord, we are weak. There's not a one in this building tonight that's not weak. In errors. And yes, there's times that Satan does trick us up. But one thing is sure, we know who you are, we know where you're at, we know who your book is. And we seek, search, we don't run from you in trouble, we run to you. And we know you're there. One thing is sure, you confirm to our heart who are saved, you love the world like it is Christ died for, you surely love those who are your own. Therefore, we thank you so much to know you're there. We know we can trust you, Lord, and we pray, thank you for the privilege to know that. And help us learn more about you. The more we know about you here, the more we'll try to serve you. And as we see you, don't let us be afraid to take our stand for you. Even like men of old and women of old did. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.